Vignette number 75 from Zen is right here. Teaching stories and anecdotes of Shunju Suzuki. A young woman wearing many strings of beads raised her hand when Suzuki asked for questions. Suzuki Roshi, what is sax? Once you say sex, everything is sex, he answered. That's from me. That's something I remembered. And that happened at Sokoji around 1966. No, I think it was in 1966. I don't know who it was. Or maybe somebody who was just passing through. I don't know. So what comes to mind once you say sex? Everything is sex. Yeah. Suzuki was very tolerant. He was not puritanical at all. However, he had that perfect combination of being tolerant and strict with himself. Tolerant of others and strict with himself. The Japanese way of relating to sex is different from ours. I hesitate to say what it is, but I think in many ways they were more open privately and rather quiet about it publicly. Publicly. You know, there could be scandals and this and that, but if someone was discreet, people wouldn't go out of their way to pry. Necessarily, I mean, depending on the situation. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, they've got their own strange things about sex. Like, penises are cool. They have, you know, they have some town with a famous penis parade, celebration, festival, you know, with, like, ice cream or something. Some things made in the shapes of penises and giant penises in like little statues being carried down the street and stuff like that. But the woman who made large, you know, out of scale copies of her vagina, oh man, they couldn't take that. And she's made a lot of news in recent years doing vagina art, but that was uncool. And also their porn back then, I write about this in, very early on, one of the very early chapters of Thank You and Okay, An American Zen Failure in Japan, my first book. I tell about being in a capsule hotel, sleeping in a little tiny capsule, and turning on the TV, and there being a sort of, you know, sort of porn. Yeah, it was porn, but it wasn't hardcore porn. But there was genitals, but the genitals would be fuzzed out where you couldn't see them. And they would take Playboy magazines, which could be imported, and airbrush over the genitals. They'd airbrush over the pubic hair. However, they had nothing against breasts. You could see bare breasts on primetime TV. You could see, I remember one show at like 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, super prime time, right? A lot of whole families watching it. And it was some sort of game show, an obstacle course. And there were all these bare-breasted women, many of them with breasts much larger than the average Japanese woman, running around and bouncing up and down through this obstacle course, and everybody's enjoying it. It's like totally wholesome. Yeah, you know, nothing against it. So anyway, I don't know if that has anything to do with Suzuki's attitude. They have a whole sex trade. I mean, most countries do in one way or another. My God, they have a whole sex trade at night. Although the water world, is that what it's called? It's called the water something. I forget. Oh yeah, Mizu Shobai, the water trade. But also they would. They would be in total denial about violence against women by their husbands and the murder of wives by their husbands, which husbands got away with to a high degree. So there were, you know, really bad things going on that they would not, that they were in denial about, wouldn't talk about. Also, they thought they had no, remember in class, in an English class, someone saying, well, we will not have AIDS here because we do not have homosexuals. I said, but they have a lot of homosexuals. The thing is, it's so obvious, they just don't see it, right? So I've had gay American men tell me, Japan's, they're completely not homophobic at all. I said, they're extremely homophobic, but as long as you don't say you're homosexual, they'll just pretend you're not, or they won't think you are, or whatever. And anyway, in my English class, now Japanese don't talk this way amongst themselves, but I would say, we're an English class, I'm going to talk like we do. I said, what are you talking about? You don't have any homosexuals. I know homosexual Japanese. I've known a number of them. I know homosexual Buddhist priests. Oh, man, they all go, oh, you know. They've got a lot of things they sort of know but don't talk about. But anyway, all right. So bring it back to Suzuki and Zen Center. He was, this was the 60s. And the subculture surrounding the Zen Center, there were various types of people, but the dominant subculture was fairly libertine, you know. I mean, we had men and women together at Tassajara, and there was always a certain amount of hanky-panky going on. Not enough to distract us from the practice. It really worked. There was more of it then than later. But considering how young we all were and how wild and crazy we all were compared to later, I think it all went rather smoothly. And couples formed. And, you would become an approved couple, and people would get married, but people would stay together without getting married. There was no anti-gay trip, but there wasn't a pro-gay, there wasn't gay identity yet. But I knew gay people in Zen Center that said they felt very comfortable there. But it wasn't a thing, It wasn't a thing. And we didn't have, like gay couples or anything like that, but it never came up. That I know, and it just, when that entered into the society, Zen Center was already ahead of it. And, there's always been a lot of gay people in Zen Center, and then started Isan. Isan was my roommate. Isan Tommy Dorsey. He wasn't. He never tried to seduce people at Sin Center. He was older, you know. Well, a little bit older. What was he? 40. But anyway. And some things would happen that would, you know, if some two people got interested in each other and their interest in each other was causing waves in the community for one reason or another, then it would be dealt with, you know. But that wasn't because they were having hanky-panky. It was because they were making waves. But that didn't happen much either. It all worked out pretty well. So, you know, I just talked around that whole thing. I don't know if that helped any or not. But that's just what came to mind. I'll say one other thing. Later on, I have seen people, as we left the 60s and the 70s, we get in the 80s, and then things get, the whole thing about, teachers abusing students and all that, it became a thing, right? And what I observed was that it not only in Zen Center, in American culture and in Buddhist groups in general, if there was a scandal that had to do with sex, it would get a lot of attention and it would get a lot of people angry. But if there was a scandal that had to do with anger, so sex is like desire, right? If there was one that had to do with anger or roughness between students or even violence, that wouldn't move far. It's like, what I've always noticed is that, Buddha divided people into, one of these old Theravadan Pali lists, the greed, hate, greed type, the delusion type, and the hate type, right? And somebody asked Buddha, is one of them worse than the other? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, that greed is a minor problem, you know, and it's easier to deal with it, to get over it, to become free from it. That thing. He said anger or hate is a major problem. And it's, you know, it's like a fire once it gets going. It's much harder to deal with. And he said also confusion is major, is difficult. But what I've seen is that hate and confusion do not get the attention that desire gets. Well, because people see it as abuse of power and stuff. So that's what they'd say. But I don't know. It's like Kubrick, the great Stanley Kubrick, the great film director, said same thing about movies. He said, yeah, kiss it, it's X. Cut it off, it's PG. Maybe it wasn't that extreme. But you see what he meant. Okay. Well, I guess, which just goes to show you that once you say sex, everything becomes sex. This has been a Cuke Audio mini podcast. I'm D.C. Poobah of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Doggett Bandita, Feline Cuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.